Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And guys, we are continuing in our series of the how-tos, and we've been talking about how to make multiple offers and really how to make your offers stand out from one another to incentivize the seller to choose one over the other. So our last episode, we talked about longer-term financing, you know, 5 to 7 year, even a 10-year financing. Our key notes there was that you need to show the seller that they're going to make more money by choosing the longer term offer by either, you know, raising your purchase price or your down payment and your interest, and really showing that seller what they're going to net or gross at the end of that term. So this episode, we're going to talk about seller subordination and how this really stands out with sellers and showing them why this is worth looking at an offer on, you know, if they have little debt on the property or, even no debt on the property. But the thing that stands out the most with seller subordination is we can always offer the seller more down if they're willing to take their equity in second position, which is what seller subordination is. It's the seller taking a down or taking their equity in second position. So let's talk about that, Jeff. I know you probably almost always offer a subordination, don't you, on your...
When I can.
When you can, when it makes sense, right?
Like certainly based on the debt.
And
I think we clarified this a few episodes ago when we talked subordination as well, but there's two different ways or two different schools of thought of how to use subordination. One is what we'll talk about today, which is trying to keep that down payment on the lower side, the lower end. And the reason for it is that you're just offering a higher down payment than we can potentially offer the seller on some of the other offers. But we've got to go borrow this money. And you know, even if you've got cheap money at, let's say, 6%, 6% is typically higher than what we're paying the seller. And so we want to keep that amount down. Otherwise, it does not give us the flexibility to pay the seller as much as we may want to monthly.
Right.
The second school of thought is, and it works better on commercial than residential, would be, hey, we're going to finance 70, 75%, maybe even as much as 80% of the purchase price, and ask the seller to carry back or subordinate the down payment, the 20 or 25%. Doesn't work great with residential, works much better in the commercial realm. But ultimately, you know, it really comes down to what, if any, debt is owed on the property. And if there's too much debt, then pretty much subordination is out. I don't make that offer. When we're dealing with a free and clear property or a small debt on the property, then yeah, we're going to make it. And the reason that I'm going to make it is strictly for what you just said, is that if the seller... Yeah, we already made two offers, right? One was $17,000 down, one's $22,000 down. What if there was a realtor involved in this deal, Jonathan?
Well, that makes it a lot harder.
What does the realtor want?
He wants to get paid his 3% commission.
Right. So 3% would be about 10 grand, right? Maybe a little more. And so 10 grand out of the 17, plus what else is the seller got to pay?
closing costs, title insurance, so, the tax, previous year taxes.
Yeah. So on our first option, when we offered 17, it wouldn't be unheard of that the seller only walks away with maybe $4,000, right?
Yeah.
Maybe even a little less. On the second offer, the seller might walk away with, $8,000. It's not a huge amount of money. Plus, they may have a need for that money, or that money may just be the insurance that they need from you to know that, you're going to follow through with this. Those offers are good, but we've talked countless times about trying to get in light. And so that if there's one potential negative with doing creative financing, would be that is that if someone needs a lot of their money or a good chunk of their money, that a lot of times we're not able to do it. Well, subordination allows us to get a little closer. And so what I like to do, again, the subordination for some part is going to set itself apart from the other two offers just in terms of the down payment. But I will tell you that, one of the things that we want to try to do as well here is we want to try to make this so that it probably won't be as high of a net to the seller, probably for right around the same amount of term, or maybe right in the middle of it, something to that effect, give a little more variety. But I'm hoping that it's close enough to the net, and with the added down payment, that now this becomes a viable option for the seller. So let's take the same example and look at some potential numbers. And so we offered $358 on option one. We offered $350 on option two. On this, I offered $350 as well. So the asking price. The difference here was, and if I could go back and do this a little differently, I probably would have, and I'll tell you what I would have done differently, but I offered $100,000 as a down payment. And when I offered it, I said that we'd borrow it in first position on the property, and that the seller's equity, $250,000, would be secured by a second position on the property.
Okay.
So now what we need to do is remember, if I'm borrowing this money in first position, which you should be, it most likely, and it doesn't have to be, you can structure it any way you like, but we want to try to keep that payment down, right? So let's say that we were able to borrow $100,000 at 7% interest only. So we're paying out $583 a month. If we really think that, hey, we got to keep our payment to our principal and interest payment on this property to somewhere in that $1,500 to $1,600 range, we've already used up about $600, right?
Yeah.
We've got about $1,000 more that we can pay the seller each month because we still got a note for $250,000, right?
Yeah.
So a couple of things here. One, that $100,000, if we structure it as interest only to keep our payment down, that's not going to pay down at all. In 3 years, 5 years, 8 years, we still owe that $100,000, right? So if principal pay down is of importance to us, then we've got to figure out how that second mortgage can be paid down. At the same time, giving the seller, a reasonable payment each month to be willing to do this.
And that's kind of where it gets a little tricky, right?
Correct. Yep.
You got to Yeah. And at the end of it, you got to have enough equity to, you know, refinance it.
Right.
If you're holding it long term.
So it really depends on where you're buying, right? So if this property is really worth, let's say, $400,000, it's not a major fixer upper, you know, maybe just dated kind of stuff, that, hey, so we've already got a built-in equity of maybe $50,000. And you know, if I wanted to make sure that I had 20% equity by the time that this comes due, then, hey, I've got to figure out a way to pay down, you know, another 280, so 400. So we'd want to get it to at least 320. So we're trying to get, you know, another $30,000 or so off of the balance to really feel comfortable that we could just go and refinance. And by the way, if we are able to refinance, what's the advantage to us for doing it this way?
Well, there's no money out of our own pocket up
front. That's right. That means that you bought it with no money out of your pocket and you refinanced it with no money, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So if you had to put a little money into it, probably wouldn't be the end of the world, but you know, again, it's about the business model that you're trying to create. And so I like some principal pay down. To me, the offering, you know, being able to buy it this at whatever price, I want some principal pay down. So what I did on this one is I just structured, you know, a hybrid interest rate, 2.5%. I did it at $900 a month, so just under our maximum. And I did it for 48 months. And, you know, I only get a 20, not even a $20,000 discount. Our balloon is $230,879. I'm getting about a $19,000 pay down during those 4 years. Not tremendous. So I may be a little short depending on, you know, whether the property appreciates or whatever over the next 4 years.
Yeah.
So I think what, and so let's look at why does this stand out? Well, first of all, what is the seller net on this?
So they net, I would have to do the math for your interest.
You don't. So there's not going to be much, right? So, you know, 2.5% interest on this, there's not going to be much. So my guess is 230 or 255, 355, 356, something like that. If we look at $900 times 48, that's $43,200 minus, it's going to be more than I thought. Let's say 19,000 that goes toward principal. So 24,000. So they'll actually make 374-ish. Okay. Right, principal. That's what they'll net. Okay, so for 5 years they made 412. For 3 years they made 382. So this is the lowest one, right?
Yeah.
But they got the $100,000 if they needed that money. You know, that they made, you know, almost they made $78,000 more up front than either of these paid them. What I think I would rather do if I did this over again is I would up the purchase price here. And I think I would up it to, let's say 380. Okay. So this would become my new highest priced offer. And I don't know if I'd stay with the 100,000. I might go maybe 80, because Remember, I don't want, the more I pay here, the less I can pay the seller. So on their note. So if I had an 80,000, let's say I could get it at 6%. I'm at $400 a month. Now I could offer the seller maybe 11, maybe even 12. So let's say that I went with $1,100 a month, $1,100, no interest. So $1,100 times 12 would be $13,200 that I'm getting principal pay down every year, right? Okay, so if I'm paying $30,000 more than really where I want to be, over 4 years, I will get $52,800. So I'm paying 30 more, but then I'm getting almost 23 pay down. Now, yeah. The way that this works is that I got to stay in this 4 years, right? If I bail out of this deal in year one, I'm a little bit upside down maybe. Make sure that when you're putting these kinds of deals together, that you have a good feel for, what you're willing to do, what you're not willing to do, and, try to take into account worst case scenario. And so when you're doing that and you're offering these higher prices, principal only helps pay it down quickly. I could offer $400,000 on this property and, structure principal only, but I got to stay in it longer to regain that, I got to get it right side up. Yep. I got to get some equity principal pay down.
Yeah. And only time gives you that principal pay down.
So if the goal was that, I'm going to flip this or I'm going to wholetail it. I don't want to make this offer. At least not the way it stands. Another way that I've been using this lately is when it is a flip, right? Or it is a wholetail deal, I will make this offer and I'll make it like my short-term finance offer. So, but I'm willing to give them a higher down payment. That would be a 6-month deal. And, I'd offer them, I wouldn't offer the same price that I'm offering now. It'd be less, but I could do $50,000, $80,000, $100,000 down, borrowed in first position, and I will make you a payment of $800, $1,000 principal only payment for the next 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, and use it as more of a short-term finance deal. But my goal here is that I'm trying to accomplish maybe 2-3 things. One, I want it to still be semi-competitive in terms of the net, okay? Sometimes I can do that, sometimes I can't. So I might make it just based on, hey, here's an option for you where you can get more money up front. And that's obviously number two, is that, hey, we can offer you more money if you need it up front. And then keep in mind that if you structure this with, where it's amortized, with any kind of real interest rate, that you're not going to get a lot of principal pay down unless you're extending this out quite a bit. And so know where you're going to end up. Otherwise, you might be a little concerned that, hey, after 4 or 5 years, you're basically kind of where you started or, only slightly less.
So in this example with your seller subordination offer, what was your exit strategy on that? Was you going to sell it to an owner occupant or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, if I was going to, let's say that I was look at the different kinds of ways that this would be helpful to me. One, I might be able to sell it to an owner occupant on terms and stay in the middle. I mean, that's the best when subordination works, because I got in for no money and I'm going to collect, at least a 10% down payment. That goes all in my pocket. But I got to make sure that I can make that cash flow payment, right? I got to make sure that there's a cash flow for me every month. And then I got to make sure that there's some principal pay down so that I get paid that third time. If I wanted it just as a rental, now I've just got to structure the payments so they make sense, where I can create a good cash flow, and where it would make sense where, hey, wherever it ends up somewhere in the future, that I can kind of refinance or put in a little bit of money, not the 20% that I would need to, buy it as a non-owner occupant.
Right.
If this was going to be a flip, or I was going to wholesale, if I was going to wholesale it to a landlord, to me, and I think we chatted about this, is that this particular offer is probably not the best to wholesale. And the reason for it is that you got to go explain it. And even investors will be like, what? So I got to go borrow money, and then I got to pay your assignment fee, and then it's almost too much. So I like to use this when there is a chance that I will stay in the middle, or I want to own it.
So when you're looking for your owner occupant, would you sell it on contract for deed?
Yeah. So if I bought it this way and then I wanted to sell on terms to an end buyer, yes. Almost for sure,
yeah,
I would do that. That would be my preference. Because I will, in this case, I will be on title, right? So my entity will certainly be on title because, I'm buying it, title is going to transfer, and I'm going to have a note to the seller for their equity of $250.
Yeah. So could you sell this thing on a wraparound mortgage, since there's already, if you do a subordination, mm-hmm, and say you couldn't, for whatever reason, do a contract for deed or land contract, and you had to sell it on a wraparound,
sure, there's
a first position and a second position recorded. I guess yours would be kind of a third position.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a third. It would be a wrap. And it would wrap. So those two mortgages, one to the seller, one to the, one that I got, are both going to be put on this property with the understanding that either one, that I am going to sell this on terms, and I would do it on contract for deed because, one, there really is no due on sale clause that way. But if there were going to be, or there was a possibility of the due on sale, then I would ask for a one-time waiver of the due on sale, which basically means, hey, I can transfer this one time without the due on sale clause being called on me. And so now I can, sell it to my buyer. And first of all, if this ever became a conversation, which it almost never will, on the rarest of occasions, I would just explain to my seller, look, what my goal is I'm going to buy the property and I'm going to resell the property. The person that you only ever have to be concerned with is me. It does not matter what I do with it, who I put in it, what they do to it. I am responsible to you. And I am not going anywhere. So if they ruin the house, I'll fix it. If, they don't end up buying, I'll get it worked out. You will only have to deal with me, but don't tie my hands so I can't do anything with the property. You got to allow me to do what it is that I need to do with it.
Right. And I only ask just to kind of understand the mechanics of the logistics of how it's recorded on title.
This is a super easy kind of deal, but when you use it to wholesale, and you could, the issue will be is trying to explain to your end buyer, how you set this up. So if let's say that I was, and I could have said, hey, Mr. Seller, you're going to allow me to borrow $130,000 against your property, of which $100,000 will go to you. Okay. And that $30,000 will end up going to me as an assignment fee. So I could build the assignment fee into the loan that gets borrowed into the property. Or even more than that, what I like to do is, let's say this property needed a bunch of work. I might say, hey, we can borrow $140,000 or $150,000. $100,000 of that will go to you. And I just got my rehab money for the property. So, the buyer has now gotten their rehab money for the property.
Yeah.
So there's a number of ways that you can play with this, but ultimately the real reason that I like to use it is that it offsets the one negative that we have with our first two offers, which is our down payment is low. And I don't want that to be the one issue that stops us from buying this property. I still can't deal with the people that want 30, 40% down, whatever, but I can deal with the people that are willing to take 15, 20, 25% down. And if it's structured properly, this is such a great way to get into properties where you now own notes, or you're lease optioning to a tenant that and you want to buy and hold, or start creating that passive income. This is the situation that you really like, because there's no money for you, no money out of pocket from you.
Yeah, right. Yep. And so my last question I wanted to ask is, what I know you don't have like a hard and fast rule about how much you could borrow against, but what is too much debt? If they had, say you're trying to do a seller subordination, what is just too much debt as a percentage that a seller would have on the property that would not make it work?
Well, I don't know if there's a percentage. Really what it comes down to me is, well, what's the maximum that we thought we could pay on this house?
Okay.
1600 is kind of where, we kind of set that bar. So the more I got to pay on that first, yes, that's going to the seller potentially, right? If I'm building in more money for me or for rehab or whatever, that payment keeps going up, which means that I'm able to offer even less to the seller on their second note. So that's where it gets.
That's where your limitation lies.
That is, yeah. So
because, like you were saying to begin with, you gotta consider how much you're borrowing up front in first position and what that payment's going
to
be.
Yeah, I always like to try to keep it low. I'm trying to keep it to 20% ish, depending on the price range of the property, and it will also have some bearing on what do you think you can borrow this money at. And we've had this conversation, right? Yeah. I told you I believe I can get 6% interest on this money.
Yeah.
The more that I have to borrow, and the more loan to value percentage that I have, probably the more interest I'm going to have to pay. So if I'm borrowing 20% and you're secured, I borrow $100,000 from you, Jonathan. Uh-huh. Then I tell you, hey, this is a $400,000 house. You're secured in first position, $100,000. Your loan to value is 25%. Are you feeling pretty secure?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you that. Look, this is about as guaranteed as you can get. And this isn't hard money. This isn't 7, 8, 10% interest. This is 6% interest. This is like you putting it in a savings account, but instead of getting the 0.5% you're getting now, I'm going to give you 6, and I'm going to pay you every month. I don't want this to accrue. the property is paying you every month.
Yeah, exactly. Well, cool. Yeah, that was just my last question as a percentage, but you don't like to be any more than 20% down.
20, yeah. Sometimes I might be able to extend it. It really depends on, with the purchase price and what the maximum is that I can, payment-wise, I can pay for this property. So sometimes I can go a little more. Sometimes I got to keep it lower.
Yeah, right. So no hard and fast rule, but you have to make the payment work for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if I was borrowing $150,000 here, so I could borrow the work, borrow the rehab, now I probably want this to be shorter term, because I can't pay the seller very much money. But if we're at 150 and let's say we're paying 7%, we're now at 875. So all of a sudden, if 1600 is my max, I might have to exceed my max. And if I'm exceeding my max, I don't want it to be very long.
Right. Yep.
So all of a sudden I don't want this to be 4 years anymore. Now it's, 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, a year, whatever.
Yeah.
If I wanted it to be long-term, I already know, hey, borrowing 150,000 is only going to leave me 7.25 to pay my seller on their, if I only owe them 200,000 because I'm giving all the money to them, all right, maybe I can make that work. But if, I'm borrowing that money and I still owe them 250 and they're now getting 700 or 7.25, probably not very enticing anymore.
Right. Yep. And you got to incentivize them.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, let's wrap it up there. I hope that you guys can really understand how you can use seller subordination to offer that down payment, especially if that is the hot button for your seller. If your seller is just stuck on down payment and they have, little debt or no debt on the property, this is a way of doing it. I also like what you said, Jeff, about using it for, potentially rehabbing the property if you needed to put some work into it, because you're able to borrow 100,000, you offer your seller, 70,000, and you put 30 in your pocket, and that'll help you rehab the home if it was in pretty bad shape. We haven't talked too much about that. We have talked about that a little bit, about taking a cut of that money that you borrow in first position. But I love that. And again, guys, sky's the limit. You don't have to do the same thing. You don't have to make the same offers that Jeff makes here. That's why they call it creative financing, right? I mean, you can, if you're able to structure something in a subordination where, you can put some money in your pocket and, it works for your seller because they're getting the down payment that you want. And you're still got your monthly payment that works for you over that time, whether you're holding it yourself or, selling it to an owner occupant, that's what the beauty here is with creative financing.
Yep. I totally agree. And like I said, I just started using this in probably the last few weeks, as more of a short-term finance offer, where they could just get more money down if they needed it, to get by for 6 months, 8 months, whatever.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Well, cool. Guys, please rate and review our show wherever you get your podcasts. We need your help to get the word out. If you're on Facebook, please join our Facebook group, the Creative Financing Podcast. We're building a community there that the community that really helps each other out if you got some deals that you're working on. Also, we're going to be looking for guests to come onto our show and ask questions about creative financing. We'd love to, get a couple guests from our Facebook group and just bring them on and, have just a free-for-all, ask Jeff whatever you want or myself whatever you want. And so definitely join our group if you haven't. All of our episodes are at thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. That's our archive. Jeff offers an apprenticeship focused on wholesaling nationwide. If you're interested in that, please email Rebecca at weofferoptions.com. In the subject line, just say apprenticeship program, and she'll get you the info needed on that. And then if you guys are interested in the Creative Financing Academy, you can hit us up on our hotline number, which is 877-409-8090. You can also text CFP to that number to get special access to our step-by-step video. That'll give you a real taste of what the Academy will be like. It's all video format. So if you're interested in that, you know, hit us up, DM us on Facebook, and we'll hook you up. Any last words, Jeff?
I definitely think that you should order that video. The video sheds some light on really what it, you know, the kind of mindset that you need to start having in terms of, you know, thinking through some of these offers. And certainly don't get yourself overwhelmed. If you're just joining us and you're like, what the hell are they even talking about? don't try to take this all on at once.
Oh, you can't.
This is, you know, we're deep diving into some of this stuff. You know, go back, you know, and even more important, if you're new to this, go all the way back to our very beginning episodes. Start with the first six or seven, and then you can jump around a bit, but get that foundation and then see where your interest lies, right? We're going to have a whole series on how to use this in commercial, and you know, and I've used it in land, and there's so many uses for it, especially even right now in one of the hottest markets of all time, that there's still ways to use creative financing to, you know, get yourself deals. And so get involved with our Facebook group, ask some questions, let us help you, let our community help you. And then it's just practice, it's repetition.
Yeah. And think of creative financing as an elephant. You know, the saying goes, if you know, how do you eat an elephant, right? Think of it that way. You know, it's just one little bite at a time.
Yep.
That's really what it is. You know, seller subordination is, in my opinion, more of an advanced topic. I mean, it's simple in nature, right? Simple in structure, but it's more of an advanced way of thinking and thinking of ways to buy properties and invest.
And you may never even use subordination in your business. It's your choice. So I get subordination accepted less than every other offer. But when I do get it accepted, it's well worth it.
Yep. Okay, guys, till next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.